Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. It's great to be back with you, Bob. Thanks for having me in.
It's great to be here in the studio, but I'm upset at the governor of Mississippi, the guy who came out against the personhood amendment down there.
Haley Barbour.
Supposed to be pro-life.
Former chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Supposed to be conservative.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be Republican.
Yes.
Well, I guess he is Republican.
He is Republican, but I think he's what they call a rhino. That's what conservative Republicans call other phony baloney conservative phony right. baloney Republicans.
Yeah, Republican in name only.
Yeah.
Haley Barbour, he did something despicable. Why don't you describe it, Doug?
Well, there's the despicable things he did during the personhood campaign, and then there's that he just did this week.
Right, and the two are actually related, I think. When you come out against the personhood of the unborn child, it shows that there's something fundamentally wrong with your understanding of right, wrong, life, death, murder, killing the innocent.
Yeah. And what are the odds that someone who had ascended to the pinnacle of political power, chairman of the RNC, what are the odds that he's fundamentally confused about right and wrong and life and justice?
The odds, I think the odds are good.
Unfortunately, they're pretty good. But what he did this week was pretty despicable, Bob. He pardoned a convicted murderer. Haley Barbour, Mississippi governor, on his way out the back door.
This is a very godless and lawless tradition.
Yes.
Where governing officials will pardon convicted criminals, murderers often.
Yeah.
And they think that they're doing society a favor, that they think they're doing something good. They think they're doing something God would approve of.
Yeah, well, you've hit on it. It's become a tradition for politicians, governors, executives, on their way out, last day in office, to let some murderers and other convicted criminals out. And listen to this. This fella is David Gatlin. He was in prison. He was sentenced to life in prison for killing his estranged wife, Tammy Gatlin, back in 1993. And he shot her to death and shot a friend of hers named Randy Walker in the head. Walker survived, and the mother of Mr. Walker, Randy Walker, was the survivor. His mother says now her son's afraid that Gatlin's being set free. This is the guy who shot him in the head is being set free.
Sure.
And he's afraid.
Yeah, you could understand that.
Yeah. By the way, Bob, I'm a little annoyed at the way this story is reported by the Associated Press, because you've got 20 or 30 paragraphs here, and just stuck in the middle is this small description of this heinous, atrocious crime that this guy committed. And the surviving victim, Mr. Walker, he says that Gatlin shot his estranged wife while she was holding their young baby before he shot him in the head. So a heinous crime.
And then he left the baby on his dead mother's body.
Yeah.
What a horrendous murder. Yeah. And so here's Governor Haley Barbour, who pardons this convicted murderer. And one reason is because the guy was a trustee at the governor's mansion, and he used to help during parties by pouring liquor and all.
Oh, yo, I'm sure that's very important in Mr. Haley Barbour's economy. I can assure you of that. Yeah. That's my suspicion.
Anyway. And so here's the problem when you don't understand the difference between right and wrong. Pro-aborts, they make fun of pro-lifers, and they say, you're against abortion, you probably support the death penalty.
They do say.
It's like they don't understand the difference between guilt and innocence. You punish the guilty, and you protect the innocent. Doug, it's as though they can't think through that.
Yeah.
They actually think they got us on a big contradiction.
And, Bob, I can tell you that In my early days as a baby Christian, when I first realized that I was destroying my life, I was dishonoring my wife and God, and I was hurting people, and I wanted to repent, I had a struggle, an internal struggle, because there were certain elements of criminal justice that I knew had to be true, but I could not reconcile them with the gospel as I was hearing it.
Right.
And then I heard your show.
Well, Christianity is presented in such an effeminate way.
Yeah.
A feminized presentation of the gospel, which is only lovey-dovey, tender, gentle, forgiving everybody.
Right.
Let's have a group hug with mass murderers and rapists and kidnappers.
Yeah.
And it's sickening to people who care about justice. Right. It's just sickening.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to be a spiritually enlightened person to know in your heart, in your conscience,
right,
that a murderer should be executed. A convicted murderer
right.
should be executed. You don't have to be some kind of...
Cain thought that. Cain, who had just murdered his brother Abel, and Cain said that wherever I go, people will want to put me to death.
Wow. Cain realized.
So he knew intuitively that human beings would recognize that it's appropriate to put to death murderers.
Mm. But Haley Barbour apparently doesn't intuitively know that, or he's
right.
somehow abandoned his intuition and the good sense the good Lord gave him, frankly.
So I think it'd be good, Doug, for you and I to go through Bible verses from the New Testament that talk about the death penalty, because a lot of Christians are under the false impression that the death penalty was somehow annulled in the New Testament.
Well, that's the way I took the gospel before I got saved. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. It's false, of course. At American Right to Life's website, it's so neat, AmericanRightToLife.org/death penalty.
Yeah.
There is a great paper on abortion and capital punishment. And one of the things they do, aside from showing all these New Testament verses that show that God wants governments to use the death penalty against convicted murderers, they also look at countries that have abolished the death penalty and when they did that, what year, and then what year they legalized abortion.
Really?
And it is so interesting that there is this parallel where countries will outlaw the death penalty and then they will decriminalize child killing.
Wow.
And the two tend to be related because the Bible says, you know, the Bible compares these two. If you justify the wicked and you condemn the just, both of them are an abomination.
Mm.
And in Ezekiel 13, God says, "Do not profane me by killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live."
Wow. Both sides. That's a pretty comprehensive statement.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, so whichever one you do is not right.
Well, I just remember I heard you, I can't remember if it was on radio or television, but I heard you repeat some cliches that some of them were word for word what I was struggling with.
Right.
And having been raised in a Christian house, knowing in my heart that Jesus is the way, but struggling with these cliches like, Jesus repealed an eye for an eye punishment.
Mm.
Christians have to forgive criminals.
Right.
Christians should not judge.
Yeah.
Well, that was a big one. Christians should not repay evil for evil.
Mm-hmm.
Only those without sin can enforce execution.
Mm.
And another cliche, God commanded, you shall not kill.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not kill.
Right.
So I all of these were going through my mind as I was searching for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a hard time finding him
in
the milieu of theology that I was hearing on the radio and from other Christians.
Right. And this happens that, for example, people as diverse as Albert Einstein and Ayn Rand, who end up going to hell, rejecting God, because they're confronted with false Christian teachings.
Mm.
And so they hardly have the opportunity to reject Jesus Christ because they don't even get to know him up close and personal. They're turned off by false teaching.
Mm.
And so people who have a sense for justice, they get upset at this and they say, you know, that just can't be true. So I'm going to reject Jesus Christ and Christianity in total. And it turns out that in the New Testament, Jesus supports the death penalty. So does the Apostle Paul. So does Matthew. So does Mark. So does Luke. So does John. So does the book of Acts. So does Hebrews. So does the book of Revelation, and even an angel.
That's a pretty comprehensive list.
To top it all off,
wow.
Even an angel supports the death penalty. So Christians who just assume that God is against the death penalty in the New Testament, they need to reread the New Testament.
Mm. Well, you know, there's a really good chance, Bob, that someone's driving in their car today listening to the radio, someone's gone online to listen to the podcast, and they're abutting Albert Einstein or Ayn Rand.
Mm.
And we don't want them to go to hell under a misconception.
No.
So perhaps we can go through some of the scriptures.
We should look at some of these Bible verses. The very first one that is listed in an article we have, Doug, we have this online, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment.
Mm.
When people Google the three words, God, death penalty, one of the Supreme Court justices wrote an article on this. It shows up pretty high in the Google rankings. Antonin Scalia.
Yeah.
But our article from Denver Bible Church is number one. It's been one for years out of millions of pages that Google identifies with those three words, God, death, penalty.
Right.
And it's on our church website, theologyonline.com, which, by the way, has over 16,000 threads.
Wow.
And recently broke 2 million posts.
They do good work over there.
Yeah.
I tell you,
TOL, Theology Online. And so the first verse comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans.
Yeah.
And it's from Romans 13, verse 4, that a governing official does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Powerful stuff from the Apostle Paul. That's way into the New Testament.
Yeah.
Way into the New Testament.
Buried deep in the New Testament.
Yeah, right.
And so if a governing official is to use a sword is for what, flogging criminals?
No, a sword is not used for flogging, not at least not effectively.
No.
It's used for executing.
Executing.
Synonymous, especially at the time this was written, for execution.
Yeah, right. The sword, and so it's not in vain, for the governing official is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Mm.
So
Amen.
That's a pretty strong statement. Do you want to go through some of these
Bible verses? I'd like to do another one from the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something he stated while he was on trial before Festus, the governor at Caesarea.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, quote, and this is from Acts, the 25th chapter, Paul said, "For if I am an offender, or if I've committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying."
Whoa. So you're on trial? For your life.
He was, yeah.
And you give an affirmation of the death penalty.
Yeah.
As the defendant.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty strong.
And you know, Paul must have been pretty confident in his position to have stepped out on a limb like that.
It would almost be like somebody being crucified with Jesus Christ giving an affirmation of the death penalty. It's almost like that. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, and he's saying this to the judge, he's saying, if I am an offender, so if I'm guilty, if I've committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to being executed.
Mm.
So that is a strong affirmation of the death penalty from someone who's on trial, and the Holy Spirit decided to put that in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles.
That's right. Obviously a pretty important moment.
Yeah.
In the New Testament story.
Yeah, it's an affirmation of the death penalty.
Yeah. Now, God said, vengeance is mine.
He did.
Right?
Vengeance is mine.
That statement, just by saying that, vengeance is mine, we know that God is good.
Right.
God is righteous and he is just. So just that one line, it implies that vengeance isn't necessarily a bad thing or an evil thing.
That's a great point. Vengeance, God is a good God. So vengeance is inherently good, but it depends. If someone is exacting vengeance when they have no standing to, then that would be bad.
Well, and that brings us to the next verse, and it's from Romans in the 12th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that I struggled with. the author to the Romans says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." So I always took that to mean, well, I can't repay. It's God's place.
Right.
He says it's his.
And I can't, right? The proper place for vengeance is with God. That's where that authority lies. Mm. So when Paul writes, don't repay evil for evil yourself, he says, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. Mm. So then where is the proper place for wrath? That authority lies with God, but it turns out immediately Paul explains that God has delegated that authority to mete out vengeance and wrath to the governing officials.
That's right. He did that all the way back in Genesis.
Ninth chapter, verse 6, right after the global flood.
Right.
God said, if anyone commits a murderer, then his blood shall be shed by men, by human beings. So then the Apostle Paul goes into explaining this, give place to wrath, and he says in Romans 13, starting in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil.
Yeah, so they're to be a terror to criminals.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Having them play softball and volleyball?
No, and educating and medicating them in the local jail or
right.
the county lockup.
Keeping them warm in winter, cool in summer, cable TV.
That doesn't sound terrifying.
No. God says in the New Testament, by inspiring the Apostle Paul to write, that the governing officials are to be a terror to criminals.
Mm, amen.
So how do you terrify them?
Well, you threaten them with death.
You do.
A swift and effective
And that's
penalty.
The next thing that
Paul
writes.
We can go to Romans 13 and move on to the fourth verse. For the governing authority is God's minister. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil.
Yeah. And a sword is not used to flog.
Right.
It's used to behead someone.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul instructs believers then, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. And governments are the place for wrath, for, as Paul writes, they are God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath. Mm.
And you know, this is where I, and I think many others, have been confused by this verse, because I took this to mean, vengeance is mine. I took that to mean, well, only God can judge. Only God can feel a righteous wrath or vengeance. Mm-hmm. I can't, because it's his place. But in studying, we find that, no, God gave a place for us to vent our wrath.
Yeah.
Because if someone hurts or murders someone in my family, I am going to bear animosity, hatred, and I'm going to want vengeance on that person.
And well, sure. Remember Susan Smith, who drowned her two children?
Yeah.
In the back seat of her car, her 3-year-old and her, what was the other, 14-month-old baby.
Mm.
And so the government should put her to death.
Amen.
She's still alive. She's in prison for committing that murder and for blaming a black person. Remember that?
Oh, I remember the whole scene.
Susan Smith.
Awful.
Just utterly despicable.
Yeah.
And she should have been put to death. And then the government would not have been disobeying God. They would have been obeying God, because vengeance is mine. Give place to wrath, says the Lord. And then the Lord says through his word, the New Testament, that the government is the place for wrath.
Mm.
For the government is God's minister to avenge and execute wrath on Susan Smith. She should have been put to death by the government, but the government's in rebellion against God.
Right. And I like the thing that really clarified and crystallized these truths for me was when you pointed out that the criminal justice system, of course, it's about punishing crime and it's about preventing crime. And it's about preventing crime and educating people, because a swift and sure death penalty, swift and sure punishment from an earthly justice system points people to the truth that there is going to be a sure judgment right. in the next life.
Right.
I never understood how important that was, and it has come home to me time and time again since I first became aware of this teaching, how important that is, because it's not just about punishing this particular criminal, but it's about all the people who are watching what happens to that criminal.
Yeah, and in fact, there was a headline down in South America that was reprinted in the Boston Globe some years ago, and this was a national number one newspaper, and it was God Exists.
Oh, wow.
God Exists. And the reason that that was the headline was because Jorge Videla, that was his name, if you recall, from Argentina. He was the military dictator.
Right, right.
And Doug, he had an amnesty for murder, but he thought he was free and clear. But a court ruled that his amnesty did not cover kidnapping. This guy and his regime, they would kidnap children from their political enemies and give the kids as gifts to their political allies.
Man, that's pretty evil.
And so when Jorge Videla was arrested, the national newspaper in Argentina, their banner headline was God Exists.
Wow.
Dios Existe,
yeah,
I think it was. And so that's such a good illustration of this concept that when there is injustice in the world, people doubt the existence of a God of justice.
Mm, yeah. And when they see justice done, doesn't it reinforce their hope that there is a God?
Exactly.
Or their belief in a God.
Exactly. And so I think we find this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, starting in verse 28. And this is what we read. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law, Moses said, do not kidnap.
Right.
He said, do not murder.
Yes.
Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot?
Wow, that's a powerful, kind of frightening statement.
Yeah.
From the living God.
Right. And because it's the New Testament that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So here is a verse stating that, look, if you're certainly going to be put to death for murder or kidnapping, how much worse will it be for you if you reject God?
Right. This verse takes that lesson into the next life.
Exactly.
This points directly to the destiny of your soul for eternity.
And so when we have this acted out in modern history in Argentina with this military junta dictator who was a murderer and a thief, but also a kidnapper, and he had an amnesty, so the whole country was upset that this guy got away with it.
Sure.
And then a court found a loophole in the amnesty and said, hey, it doesn't apply to the children who were kidnapped. And in fact, today, this is decades later, but there is a group of kids who are now adults who have found one another and they've figured out who their real parents were. It's quite a story.
Wow.
What happened there in Argentina. And so it helps us to remember that when there is no death penalty, then murderers get away with it. And Haley Barbour, he's supposed to be a Christian, a Southern conservative, pro-life.
Claims all of that. Apparently, Haley has some political ambitions, apparently still. And the Democrats in Mississippi have jumped on this story because apparently Barbour, one of his famous catchphrases, is he says Mississippi is, quote, the safest state in America for an unborn child, unquote. That's that's one of Haley Barber's favorite lines.
Yeah, and that was audio we just played.
That was Haley himself. But so, yeah, he claims to be all these things, Bob.
Yeah, and so much for being pro-life when you pardon a murderer who murders a mother and leaves the child on his dead mother's body.
Yeah. And not to mention, he shot another fella in the head who happened to be there.
Right.
So
an attempted murder. And so we read in the Bible that if you don't have the death penalty for people like this, then people will doubt the existence of God, and Haley Barbour makes it worse.
Yes, and he not only gives opportunity to plant doubt in the hearts of people, but he gives an opportunity to the evil Democrats. He gives them a righteous statement to use against him.
Right. And he gives opportunity to the enemies of the Lord. And it's not surprising when he comes out against the personhood of the unborn child, which could have spelled the difference between victory and defeat.
Oh, a Barbour endorsement?
Well,
yes, absolutely.
The pro-life governor of the state comes out against personhood, and so does what? National Right to Life and the Catholic bishops and Focus on the Family. They
the usual
fight
lineup.
Against, right, the usual suspects.
Yeah.
They stand against advocating for the God-given right to life of the unborn child. That's actually what they do. They say it's not the right time or whatever bogus excuse they use. If they would stand in unity with the personhood movement, undoubtedly, Doug, we could end abortion.
Mm.
But you've got National Right to Life now for over 30 years saying we don't support a human life amendment. We want to regulate child killing.
Well, Bob, that day is coming. The day is coming. The tipping point is coming when National Right to Life and all the people who are involved in the abortion regulation industry, they'll rush over to our side.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with educating people like Haley Barbour, who has shown by his actions this week that he doesn't really know right from wrong.
He doesn't
that he's confused.
Know. You know, Jesus is quoted in Matthew and in Mark, and he mentions the death penalty. And he says, you know, you people being evil, he says
I
that,
love that right? line.
But he says, you transgress, you disobey God's command because of your own traditions. Mm. For God commanded saying, and then he gives some details, and he says, let him be put to death, but you say. Mm. And so the people of Jesus' day, they were religious, but they would rather not obey God. And so they didn't like the death penalty.
Right. So they came up with creative ways around it, similar to what Haley Barbour executed
exactly.
this week.
And Doug, remember the criminal on the cross with Jesus Christ? He was being crucified with Jesus. And he said, you know, and the Holy Spirit put his words in the Bible in Luke chapter 23. He said, we are being punished justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds.
Yeah, and God put that in the record.
Right. So here is a guy. Paul was on trial, and Paul affirmed the death penalty. Yeah. This guy was being executed.
Right.
He was in the process of being killed, and he affirmed the validity of the death penalty. And there are so many other verses in the New Testament affirming the truth of the death penalty.
And before we close, we've got to do Matthew 7. Jesus said, judge not, you hypocrite. And he commanded, judge with righteous judgment in the 24th verse.
Judge with righteous judgment in John 7:24. When judge not, Hillary's favorite verse was to a hypocrite, first stop committing the same sin, and then you can see clearly enough to judge your brother. If you love him, if you don't, then don't judge him.
Take the plank out of your eye, Haley.
All right. Thank you, Doug McBurney. Our website, KGOV.com.